We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Also, I mean, that walk-off last night.
Oh, man. Yeah.
They should be vibing for days.
That's true.
What's going on, Bulls Nation? Welcome into the CHGO Bulls Podcast, coming to you live from our studios here in West Loop, downtown Chicago. I'm Peck, Bulls underscore Peck, Big Dave, Bow, B-A-W-L Sports, Will the Goat Gottlieb, Will underscore Gottlieb, and our pal producer on the controls, the one and only Joey Spathis at Joey Spathis. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope everybody's having a great day. Beautiful day in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Spring is here. I love it. We are going to continue on with our player evaluations today with Chicago's own Io DeSumo, fresh off a very impressive third season with the Bulls.
Yes.
First, though, can we give a quick shout out to the Chicago Sky?
Sure.
For the final score of that game yesterday.
Ass whooping.
Holy shnikes.
Yeah.
101-53.
In the preseason. But
that was a real score.
Mm-hmm. It happened. Does it get you excited for the season? Got me excited.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I love the game names that Reese had as well.
She looked good.
What, 13-5?
Yep. Couple of steals.
Yeah.
Tenacious defense.
Yep. She's as advertised. You know what I mean? She's exactly what I always saw her to be. She hates to lose. She loves. All she knows is winning. This is what a champion is going to do. She's going to get in there. She's going to tear it up. And I can't wait. I cannot wait just for that season to kick off, man.
And Camila Cardoso didn't even play.
Didn't even
get out for a while.
Yeah. So she's going to be out for
hopefully
a minute.
She gets
And yeah. it was a packed house of Chicago athlete celebrities.
Yeah.
Our guy Coby White was there.
He was in the house.
Showing out. Yes. Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze were there. Keenan Allen was there. It was a who's who of Chicago athletes repping and coming out for the Sky. You love to see it.
You do. It's a good thing, man.
I mean, between the Bears draft and the Sky draft and,
in case you didn't see it,
you know, the Hawks, you know, with Bedard's rookie season and yeah. then the Hawks getting a number two pick from the lottery results in the NHL draft lottery
Bulls
last
with
night.
Wembanyama.
Yep,
and,
yep,
I mean, like, see, there is so much influx of youthful energy in Chicago sports right now.
Sure.
Like, can we get some?
I'd like a piece. You know what I mean? Just a little skosh. But for the meantime, I'll just settle for Joey Spathis.
That's the Bulls' youthful energy?
That's the youthful energy right there, Joey Spathis? Joey Spathis, dog.
Come on, man. He's already, he's what are you like, about to turn 25 or something?
Yeah. You're about to be washed.
Exactly.
Whoa. How old are you?
No comment.
You're out of your prime.
Should we offer Joey that max extension off his rookie at the end of his rookie deal?
He can play on the qualifying offer.
Yeah, I don't know if I've earned the max.
He had a good season. You know what I mean? That first one was shake, but he had a good second year, so we'll see how it goes, man. But I'm positive.
If
that
he's not on the floor against the Celtics, then he should shut down.
who had a better third season in the pros, Joey Spathis or Io DeSumo?
Ooh.
Io.
It's a tight call.
Probably Io.
I think Io.
I'm going Joey.
You going Joey?
Yeah. He did step up. Joey did step up.
Should we tack on Joey to the end of our player evaluations?
Yes, let's evaluate Joey.
Should we give Joey a player?
We're going to give some Joey player evaluations. with some meathead grades. Oh, yes, Joey, this is happening now. Oh, my God. Yes, I want this now. I want this now, Joey.
So many possible report card categories.
Dude, just
graphics.
He really grew.
Production.
Exactly, man.
Hop ins on the mic.
Oh, man. You know what I mean? Appearances.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's really showing up and gotten so much better at those things, man. He's at the 120 Club.
Yeah.
Representing, man. He do it all. Joey do it all.
And the people.
Could anybody could anybody track stats of hat throws better? I doubt it.
That's true.
I doubt
yes,
it.
Yes, for sure they could, because I didn't do that good of a job with it.
I don't know, I don't know if they could fill up a – he's trying to
the
help
good,
you out,
the
Joe.
Good news is it is not a serious enough stat that it needs to be taken that diligently.
No.
The Cubs guys keep advanced stats on Cody's beer chugs.
The timing of his chugs?
Yeah, like a quality chug is under 10 seconds. And there's some other advanced stats too.
See?
Exit velocity.
Is there? Yeah. What would the NBA advanced stats
intake
like?
Velocity,
true
intake
chugging
temperature.
Percentage.
Right.
I know he's in the teens as far as his chugging, like 13.
Yeah.
12,
or like
seconds.
If he's chugging a 12 ounce or maybe like a 16 ounce occasionally.
Yeah.
So that would like the equivalent of like a 3-point attempt rate, but like a 16 ounce attempt rate.
Right. Right. Exactly. I don't know what the bet is. The bet 16 ounces.
Well, I think you can fit for sure 16. You might even be able to fit a 20 ounce beer in that big beer bat.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I mean, Cody's right over at Studio B doing Cubs post game. Should we interrupt it and ask him?
Yeah, let's.
Cody!
Cody! Cody!
We've got questions about your beer chugging.
They let us do this.
Oh, my goodness. Kyle walked in the comments and said, I was the man, but his commercials with Howard Ankin are cringe. Hey. Practice makes perfect, whether it be a 3-point shot or shooting commercials.
Does it all.
Two very different kinds of shooting.
Yes, very true.
But let's dive in and talk about this third season we just saw from our guy, Io DeSumo. Had a career high in points per game at 12.2. Shot just over 50% from the field, which actually was not a career high because he shot about 52% his rookie year. 40.3% from three.
Ooh. Sexy.
Career high, that's what I'm talking about.
Attractive.
Also, didn't get to the line a ton, but did manage a career high 81% from the charity stripe. Also bumped his usage up to a career high 17.2 while lowering his turnover percentage to a career best 11.9. Lots to like when you start looking at Io's advanced offensive stats this season.
The thing I liked the most was he became a creator. He did it on his own. Every time he got the ball and it just was a little stale or everything, it was just a little lull in the offense, he would kickstart it, he would go to the bucket, he would try to get that lay-in using his speed, or he'll do that crossover and pull up with that mid-range shot. He was the man to hit the shots at the beginning of the game. The first 2 points usually went to Io DeSumo because he got the ball and he said, I'm going to shoot it, and he would control those things. Three-point shooting, the pull-ups got better. Definitely the off the ball was just much better as far as his three-point shooting. But I just really enjoyed watching him offensively, and I love that we got to a point where I could just put it in pen that he was going to be a double-digit scorer for the Bulls every single night. We saw him have career highs in points as well, 30.
35?
Twice. Right, he had 35 once, and then he scored 30 again. He just was stellar. He was awesome on the offensive end for the Bulls, man, and something they truly needed.
Yeah, we talked about this with Vooch, but, like, you know, in terms of the Bulls needing guys to step up, it's hard to really make an argument for anybody outside of Io and maybe Kobe as far as guys who, like, stepped up and exceeded expectations more than Io did. He was outstanding. I thought he really looked a lot more comfortable in his game. The change of pace, I thought, really helped. But just the way that he was able to continue to put pressure on the rim while also adding that three-point shot, improving, obviously, his ability to attack closeouts, getting out in transition. I mean, he was just such a – for a team that really can get bogged down in the half court, I thought his play in particular really helped keep them fresh, keep them, like, young, keep them playing fast. And he just continues to do it from basically, like – I was trying to look through some of the numbers. Basically, after Zach LaVine went down for the first – I'm sorry, for the second time. So games – the final 27 games of his season starting January 20th, Iowa 17 points – 3.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists on 51-43-82 shooting splits.
Damn.
5.5 three-point attempts per game. So I just feel like he answered the call more than just about anybody on this team. And he was consistent doing so. So, I mean, really, really big props to Io. And, you know, again, We talked about him as being the odd man out of the rotation. Should the Bulls even give him a contract extension last year? Why would you, you know, bring him back to be behind Javon Carter and Kobe as a third string point guard? All of a sudden, you can't take him out of the lineup. He's playing 38 minutes a game because Billy can't afford to have him off the court. So he's
playing huge minutes down the stretch.
I was tremendous down the stretch. You know, I think his defense, we can talk about, but that was kind of like consistent for me. But the offense really took a step forward and just really impressed.
Yeah, and I don't think any of us were really concerned about him defensively. I think we had already known that he can be a good defender in this league. It was about him on the offensive end. We thought that's what was going to get him on the court. That's what was going to get him time. That's what was going to get him more money. And those were the questions. And he answered a lot of those questions. You know what I mean? Just like I said, as far as creating himself, but more so just the actual three-point shooting, Will. I think that's where it really got answered at for me.
Yeah, and the thing that's really impressive when you were touching on the role and whether we saw a role for Io in like Billy's main rotation coming into this season, Will, like that is so impressive that he has been able to. Yeah, he had a bit of a sophomore slump season, but between his rookie year, his second year, and then this year three, rookie year he had 77 games, 40 of which were starts. That's a player whose role is changing consistently throughout the season. Lonzo's injury. Year two, he plays 80 games. He starts 51 of them. Other variations of who's available and who's not. Still no Lonzo. Year three, he plays 76 games. So shout out, 77, 80, 76. 37 of which are starts. So he basically, the first 3 years of his NBA career has been half a starter and half a bench guy. And he has been just rolling with the flow of that the entire time, which in itself deserves credit.
I think it's because he is so confident in the things that he does well.
Yeah.
He's an incredibly hard worker, but you know what you're getting from him on a night-to-night basis. So it's never like, I mean, he'll have like a down shooting night from time to time. I think obviously that last game against the Heat in the play-in, he was pretty poor shooting the ball. But like the way that he affects the game, his presence in the game, I think is really consistent on a night-to-night basis. That's something that I think we all kind of feel that is left to be desired with Patrick Williams. He's just so consistent. And I was so I mentioned the shooting splits. 5.5 three-point attempts per game over those last 27 games, shot 43%. Players who attempted more than 5.5 threes and shot just over 40%, not even 43. It was Steph Curry, Paul George, Kyrie, CJ McCollum, D'Angelo Russell, Jamal Murray, Malik Beasley, Luke Kennard, Dante DiVincenzo, Grayson Allen, Jalen Brunson, Sam Merrill, Sam Hauser. So, like, less than 15 guys, and all those guys are shooters. Yeah. Like, we talk about guys who can shoot versus shooters.
The front half of that list is superstars, and then the back half of that list is elite three-point shooters.
This is, like, I don't expect him to shoot at that level. I think, like, 40% would be a good goal for him every year. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that is company of like the best shooters in the league and in league history in some of these cases. So, I mean, that's just like a huge step forward. And again, over 27 games, that's consistent. Yeah.
And even if you know, like those splits are even more impressive, but if you take the entire body of his work in year three, people talk about players who increase their volume of three-point shooting because their team needs it and maintain the efficiency they had on fewer attempts. Mm-hmm. And people talk about players who kind of keep their attempts where they are, but have a season where their efficiency dramatically improves. Mm. To me, that is the most impressive thing when you're talking about the year we just saw from Io, because he did both in like insane numbers. So he had 40.3% start to finish this season behind the arc. Last season, it was 31.2.
Yeah.
You're talking about a near 10% increase in his three-point efficiency. Mm. And then you look at his three-point attempt rate, And it goes beyond just that 27-game split, Will. Mm-hmm. Across the entire season, last season, Io's three-point attempt rate was 0.332. So a third of all of his shots were from three. Mm-hmm. This season, it increased to 0.410. Mm. I mean, massive leap in both three-point attempt rate and efficiency.
He understood the call. He understood what
understood the assignment, as some say.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think when you – like, I'm starting to really dive into – the draft and evaluating prospects, right? And I think one of the big things where, you know, you can't always tell, for example, like Reed Shepard shot 53% on threes this year. He's a Kentucky guard. I mean, that is absurd. Nobody's ever going to do that for a full season, but he did it. But I think more impressive is he's telling you in his game that he can be a high volume shooter. That says there's confidence in his shot coming from him, coming from the team. That's what they're asking him to do. I think volume is just as big an indicator when it comes to 3-point shooting to tell you how good a guy is as his percentage.
Yeah.
If you have, if you shot 41% on threes, but you only take one a game, that doesn't tell me much about you as a shooter. Mm-hmm. If you shoot 35% on 5.5 threes per game, that tells me you're a good shooter because you're confident enough to get that shot up. And yeah, for Io's percentage to rise and volume, I think that's just, it's a huge sign of growth and confidence from him.
And I also like the fact, as Matt kind of touched on, his role, you know, it's always changing. It's always, I'm coming off the bench or I'm starting. Even when he's in the starting lineup, it changes. Whether he could be the point guard or he could be the shooting guard. But he still delivers every single time. You still get the same thing. There's nothing better than consistency in sports. When you're on a positive, I should say. You should be consistently good. That means I don't have to worry about you. I know what I'm going to get. I know what's going to happen. And if you give me over that, it's just extra gravy. So it's, Io's been great, man. Can't say
extra
enough.
Extra gravy. We got to take our first break. Rattle off a couple comments before we do. What up, Julia? Saying her favorite bull. Fish saying, I would be cool with keeping an eye out for the half of next season while we tank and see if he can get his value a bit higher. Oh, Fish, we are like-minded.
Did I see what Eco Bean said?
Eco Bean, yeah. Oh, I was getting to it.
Okay.
Io reminds me of Chris Dunn.
Is that a joke?
We're talking about a bull who just had a wildly impressive season, raising his three-point attempt rate and three-point percentage to, like, elite levels. What about that, says Chris Dunn?
Dogging him.
If you're talking defensive end, I could maybe hear your argument.
I can hear that defensively, yes.
Yikes.
Yes.
TR, meanwhile, saying, Io is a good player. Don't know if he's a starter or a great six man when the Bulls contend for the playoffs again. Honestly, if he's just used as a 3-and-D guy, he could be one of the league's best. Io MIP next season, says Tangi Marie.
Love it.
Yeah.
Why not?
All right, let's take our first break there. We will come back and dive into what we handed down for Io with some of his grades and also talk about what we saw from him on the defensive side of the ball. Ooh, Diesel 11 just said Io has Derek White potential.
Ooh.
Do you see Derek White going off in that game one?
Insane.
My God.
Insane.
My God.
He's been special. He's been special.
While we're sharing these words from our sponsors, you know what to do. Bulls Nation, hit that like button. Now's your chance. Do it for our friend Troll Joe. Your thumbs make him happy. Mm-hmm. Dave, he's...
It was such a funny note.
He's up there.
That was too loud.
I loved it.
R.I.P. headphone.
No, it's fine. Joey, I do have a question for you, though. How is baby Joey?
He's good.
Yeah.
He's actually very good.
Mm-hmm.
He's a year old now, and I just saw a picture of him where he looked very old, and he looked...
That's from all the traveling.
Yes, he's gone around the world a couple times, gone around the world twice, talked to everyone once, and... You know, he's got some wisdom in his eyes, you know, from all that.
So I agree with that, man.
He's good, but it's almost hard to see his eyes.
Oh, yeah, that's very true. You know what I mean? He doesn't like people looking him in his eyes. Every picture he sends me, he's always got on the premium polarized shades because he don't want people up in his eyes, man. Or he say, I don't want no suckers looking me in my eyes. These are baby Joey's words, man. You don't want to run up on him, dog. You've been listening to Kendrick. Teddy Rays! Independent Sunglasses Company offering that world-class product rated 5 stars. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
By over 300,000 people. Their shades have durable frames. Their shades have crystal clear optics. And it makes them the perfect choice for all your indoor.
You said indoor first.
I know.
Oh, okay.
I know. I switched it up. That's what I did. That's my mistake. Outdoor and indoor. If it's your nice. He's ready.
It's a word.
It's a word. Will told me. I'm rolling with it. They have hundreds of options, y'all. Hundreds of options to choose from. So you're not bound. So you're bound to find the perfect pair to match your style. And they probably have a style in your favorite team's colors. Just saying. So if you want to look cool, you want to be smooth, and you want to be like Baby Joey and my main man, Matt Peck, over here, this is what you do. And this is exclusive for the listeners out there. Shady Rays giving away their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com. Use the code CHGO. You will get 35% off of those premium polarized shades. Drive like hell! The shades that are rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Because it's Shady Rays, y'all. Where the Rays are oh so shady.
Oh so Shady.
I was at the Cubs game last night. Guy right in front Flex. Of me was wearing a pair of Shady Rays, and I almost gave him a hug.
There you go.
Probably one of the smartest people here, buddy.
Yeah. I just ordered myself a couple new pairs earlier today.
Oh, new pairs for Matt?
Summer pack on deck.
Oh, man.
Got to get a couple new pairs.
All right.
I'm excited for them.
I'm excited for you.
You know, I mean, I do need lots of sunglasses because my summer is so bright in so many ways.
Mm.
But one of the ways is making money watching these NBA playoffs, man.
Nothing wrong with that.
Humble brag, a little bit of a flex. I put a parlay down on that OKC Mavs game last night. Five-leg parlay.
Dinner's on peck.
Cash
you got
it.
That right.
my account's sitting pretty right now, man.
Looking smooth, man.
Sitting pretty. Also took OKC to cover 4.5.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, first quarter, tie ball game. I was like, I think OKC is going to run away with this in the second half. That's exactly what happened.
I mean,
I am happy because I got more money in my bank account, and I got great odds on that OKC spread from Circus Sportsbook. Offer those tight money line splits and use their low hold model, always striving for -110 odds out of the gate on point total over unders, game spreads, on any game that you're getting ready to watch that night on Circus Sports menu. Unlike a lot of those other sports books that use -115, -120 odds out of the gate for no reason at all, they also keep as little money as possible on large market bets. If you're thinking you want to make a bet for who's winning it all in the NBA finals in just a few weeks' time, the best place to do that for the best odds is Circa, who also have the best customer service in the business. Real people behind the Circa sports brand who resolve any issues you might have in a timely fashion. Unlike those other sports books who use the dreaded, useless, we need to fight them chatbots.
Humanity will prevail.
Humanity will prevail. All aspects of that Circa app are being run by the same team that run the main Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Just kidding. Humanity is clearly doomed. Download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circusports.com/Illinois-app to make some money before humanity becomes doomed.
Mm-hmm.
To sign up today. Be on the lookout also for circus events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or someone you know may have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Text GAMB to 833-234. Or visit areyoureallywinning.com.
You know what? Before we even go into seconds, let me throw these on.
Woo! Shady Dave's.
Oh, because the future is bright. Oh, it is so bright.
Does anybody know if they do premium polarized prescription?
Oh, we shall find that out for the GOAT.
I might need to.
It's another letter for the alliteration.
We are talking. Yes, on that. He needs it. Because we are talking about the bright future of Io DeSumo, and that is brought to you by our good people, as we mentioned, at Shady Rays. You can head to ShadyRays.com and use that code CHGO at checkout and get your beautiful self 35% off of those premium polarized sunglasses, or as we call them, shades.
Shades. Future's bright.
Io bright.
I truly believe the future is bright for Io DeSumo.
I think so.
After that season we just saw from him. What I mean, even if it's just a excellent role player in the NBA,
yes,
which I think is very doable for Io,
yes,
that is a bright future.
I agree.
Dude, the Bulls could use an excellent role player. We still got to figure out who the stars of this team are.
You could use a future
long term because it's not DeMar, it's not Vooch, it's probably not Zach.
Yeah,
but bright future as a role player is still a great thing. So let's talk about some of these grades that we gave Io for this season.
Let's do it.
Joe, if you have those grades, I believe I gave him an A- for his offense this season. There it is. And you guys were very, very similar, B+ and B+. What prevented you guys from giving Io an all-out A or maybe even an A- in y'all's case? If you know, so we're singing Io's praises in the first segment for everything he did well offensively this season. What would you have liked to see more from him?
Oh, that's a great question. I think if Io was somebody, like, I think at times it shocked people, and I don't know if it caught some of the league off balance, some of his offensive skills and prowess that he did. I always want to know what it's like when the league kind of catches up with you.
Because
we saw what happened his rookie season. When they caught up with him, you know what I mean, in season two, it was a different thing.
Yeah.
So now he is, again, because he's an intelligent ball player, he changed some of his game and said, okay, I'm going to start doing this. Now we see he loves going to the right-hand layup. You know what I mean? Whether he's getting off the wrong foot or the right foot, he likes putting that layup up on the right hand and just running by you with that and falling into the cameraman and all that. We'll see what the NBA, how they kind of shift to that or if it still works. because that's when greatness comes along, is when they know it's coming and they still can't do anything about it. So from that, that's why I gave it the B plus, because I like the fact that he changed. They caught up with him and then he changed. But I want to see what the league says next, you know, if they're going to catch up with him or if he's going to continue to thrive and maybe become a 20-point scorer in this league, which would be absolutely sexy.
Yeah, I want to see him create a little bit more on the ball. And I don't think the Bulls asked him to do very much of that. So I don't want to, like, act like I'm taking credit away from him, because it just really wasn't his role. Like, he was kind of a 3-and-D player who could attack closeouts, and that's super valuable. But obviously, in high school and in college, he was the ball dominant guard.
Yes,
he was creating offense, and I think he can get into more of that. I want to see him get to the rim at a higher level. I think he has a couple of good ways to get there, but I want to see some more counters. I want to see him be able to be a little bit more creative around the rim. I think he's got, like, that one scoop shot off the wrong foot.
Right.
That's, like, very solid. But again, like Dave's saying, you know, teams are going to get prepared for that and scout against it. So how do you react? How do you get better? But I think, you know, really, it comes down to the shooting for me. Like, obviously he was an outlier great shooter this year. I don't think anybody really believes that's how good he is, but can he continue to get better? And again, I think volume is going to be just as big as percentage here. Like, I would rather him shoot 38% on 6 or 7 threes per game than 43% on 4.5 or 5. Mm. Just because he has to get them up. The Bulls are so far behind the rest of the league in three-point shooting. So, again, this is just, like, extra stuff. I think Io has exceeded our expectations. Right. He's exceeded where his draft slot, right? Like, he's way more productive than where you would expect a second-round pick, 37th overall, to be. So he's been great. I don't want to sound like I'm bashing him at all. It's just, can he get to a level where he's consistently more than a role player, where he's creating a little bit more offense for a team that is in desperate need of shot creation?
I like that.
Yeah, I dig it. I really don't have any complaints about Io's shot chart, you know, and his shot profile. We mentioned the increase in the three-point attempt rate, which is great. Some of those percentage of field goal attempts numbers shifting towards three-point attempts cut into his attempts at the rim compared to last season. 41% of his attempts came at the rim last season. That was down to just 33% this season. His short mid-range to mid-range, so 3 feet to 16 feet, basically stayed the same as it was last year. Collectively, 21% from that 3 to 16 last season. It was 21% again this season. There's something that I didn't see as much of from Io this season that I would have liked to see and want to see more of next season is the, okay, we know that he's an off-ball threat. Now, he's shooting confidently from the break, above the break if he's trailing in transition, in the corners. Use that and the fact that you are a legit 40% threat behind the arc now to turn yourself into a more slashing and cutting threat as well. Because we see these little glimpses at times of Io's cutting ability when he's playing off the ball on the weak side of the floor. And whether it's cutting from the elbow or from baseline when he's maybe waiting for an opportunity for a corner three, we know he has that speed and agility to get to the rim because we see him do it in transition when he's leading those transition opportunities. Find ways to cut and slash when you're playing off the ball to create other good looks at the rim for yourself and for your team as a whole. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, on top of that, I think that's a great point in terms of next steps for him is the passing vision and creating out of those closeout opportunities. Also, getting the free throw line. I think he's got to do a better job of, and that goes into the finishing package, right? It's how do you get to a point where you're drawing more fouls? Only a 14.6 free throw attempt rate, which is the same as the year before and his rookie year. Can he get that up to double what it is to where he's really generating high efficiency offense at the free throw line? Like, he's basically relying on, he's an extremely efficient shooter right now, over 60% true shooting. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But he's relying on a lot of shot making.
Yeah.
And is that sustainable?
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see. But I think the way that you become a star in this league is by getting to the free throw line 5, 6, 7, 10 times per game. And I'm not saying Io should get there, but what was he at this year? Like 1.4,
pretty,
I want to say?
Pretty similar.
Exactly.
That I remember looking at.
Yeah. So can you get that up to 3 next year and provide a little bit more offensive firepower in that way? Because again, And the margin for error with this team, they're not going to shoot threes. They've got to not turn the ball over. They've got to offensive rebound. They've got to hit their shots efficiently, and they need to get that free throw rate up.
Lars in the comments saying, yeah, for real, cutting elevates the game so much. When Io and Javonte were both cutting, we actually had off-ball scoring. Wow. And I mean, you guys remember when we got Javonte back on the 10-day and then for the rest of the season, and we were like, oh, right, that's what players who actually move off the ball looks like. Because Bulls fans just became so used to watching this stagnant, plodding half-court offense, a lot of ISO, DeMar, and you know, okay, passing out of double teams, but very little off-ball movement.
Well, even in your transition, that's why Io had so many one-on-myself fast breaks.
Mm-hmm.
I would just take it and just go just straight to the bucket. And he's one of those guys who can run and start that transition, but he also knows how to run the break as well if he's coming on the wing. So I feel that's an awesome combination for a guard to be able to start the break. You can do it, but you don't have to have the ball to be effective either.
Yep.
So you can come in and slash, or he knows when to go to the baseline for that 3-point. That's a very awesome skill that he has, man. We got to see more of it.
Let's talk about Io's defense for a minute here, and our grades for him. I believe I was a bit more stern than y'all. You gave him some B material. I think I gave him a C+. I had a perfectly passable defensive season, in my opinion. That's why I gave him a C+.
Okay.
A few numbers. His defensive rebounding, which he's, you know, for as far as guards who rebound, it's never really been Io's thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes he will grab those boards himself and allow himself to get those transition opportunities. Mm-hmm. But his defensive rebounding percentage dipped a point from 9.3 last year to 8.3 this year. Steal percentage basically stayed the same, 1.5. He did increase his block percentage a touch from 1.2 last year to 1.7 this year. I also love this. He committed 7 fewer shooting fouls this season than last season.
Sexy.
In 114 more minutes played this season.
That's attractive.
Than last season.
That's attractive.
That was one of my nitpicks with Io in his first two seasons, is unnecessary fouls. Billy Donovan has talked about it a lot with this team, especially with some of the younger guys, don't commit unnecessary fouls.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, that leads to putting your opponent in the bonus, that leads to another way in which you're playing from behind every night, because we know they're playing behind from three every night.
9 points.
The thing that led me to a C+ instead of a B is because if Io really wants to be, as somebody in the comments mentioned earlier, a legit, like, elite 3-and-D role player in this league, you not only have to have great on-ball defense, technique, and instincts, which we have seen from Io, you cannot get lost off ball. And I think that is the biggest glaring weakness anywhere in Io's game right now. On either end of the floor, so many times he gets caught ball watching or he misses his guy when he's playing off ball defense, run around a curl screen or a pin down screen, and it leads to a bad rotation, a missed rotation, and the wheels fall off.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, it's great that his on-ball defense is already on its way to being above average, maybe even elite someday in this league. You can't get caught ball watching when you're off-ball. I thought I saw a lot of Io moments that were bad off-ball defense.
No, you're right, because we watched them all together. You're absolutely right. And that's kind of what Will is saying. It's so, the margin is so razor thin that when you make those kind of mistakes, they're just much more glaring right there, man. But, yeah, I see you, Joe. Thank you, sir.
We could continue for a minute or two. Just
that wasn't a minute or two move, man. That was we got to do this, man. So let's do it.
Let's do it.
We'll come back.
You want to take a break?
Yeah, let's come on. We'll come on back.
We'll come on back. Okay.
Let's do it for Joe.
Let's put a pin in this Io defense and knock out a couple of ads, and we'll come back on the other side. That was the Future is Bright segment brought to you by Shady Rays.
So wear these indoors more often. I see why you do it.
Yeah, oh, I love wearing sunglasses inside.
Yeah.
That's why you save for your outdoor and indoor.
Adventiones.
Adventiones.
That's true.
Dave, what do we got next in ad break number two?
Joey, what's happening?
Get down.
Almost. He's right there. He's right there. Good job, sir.
Not as quick as I would have liked, but
it's all right. But you was right there. You was there, though. You was there. Just pump fake, but you still hit the shot, and I like it. Game time. It's the authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Prices on Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip off, with
killer
Last minute deals, all in prices used on your seat, and the lowest price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying those NBA playoff tickets. They got last minute deals, y'all. You can save up to 60% off of buying last minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, etc. All that stuff, 60% off. The flash deals, you can save even more money with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or the event. And then my thing, the zone deals, because you can save more when you choose a section and let Game Time do that selecting, baby. Save you that money. It's all a beautiful thing. And of course, I love the seat views. Get that panoramic view on your seat in the app before you buy. Because whether you're big and tall or just tall, you want to know where you can be sitting, because it's important, y'all. Seat views, Game Time.
Hey, seat views matter to smaller people, too.
Of course they matter. You know what I mean? But I'm just telling you who it matters more to. It matters more to us.
Actually, it matters to them who's sitting in front of them more than where their seats are.
Well, they'll find that out when they get there. They can't control that. You know what I mean? God damn it.
Crap. I'm sitting behind Matt and Dave.
Big son of a gun right there. Oh, God. Oh, take the guesswork out of buying those NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use that code CHGO. Get yourself $20 off your first purchase.
Time supply.
That's CHGO. Get yourself $20 off your first purchase.
Time supply.
Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Because Lawrence, what time is it? There it is.
From the parking lot.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. Today's CSU Bulls also brought to you by Coors
Light.
Between work, social media, and the choices that life throw our way, it's no wonder that sometimes we can get a little stressed out, a little worked up. Here's the thought, though.
Okay.
Coors Light celebrates rising above those stressful moments and choosing a chill mindset. Why not turn a rained out barbecue into a karaoke house party?
Why not?
Or if you're Cody, after a tough Cubs shutout loss, a nice fun post game, and you know, you don't get to do the victory bat chug, but have a nice cold refreshing Coors Light anyway.
Dude, Whitstock.
Yeah, exactly. Make the choice and choose chill. Then reach for Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment, y'all.
Chugging it down.
Gosh, it really is. When the mountains turn blue, you know it's as cold as the Rockies and ready to drink. Coors Light is cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. When you embrace a chill mindset, choose chill, crack open a Coors Light. Coors Light is mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies.
Crisp.
And speaking of that cold packaged, if you want some Coors Light and you're feeling a little lazy, maybe you don't want to get off your couch because you're excited to watch some baseball or some NBA playoff action.
I am.
Make the most of that time to chill. Eliminate the run to the store. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. That's CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Golden, Colorado. But yeah, I was talking about
Io's
defense.
Io's D.
And, I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, we saw a lot of those plays happen. The reason I gave it a B was, even though that happens for me, that felt like young guy stuff. I'm more upset and willing to give you a lower mark if I'm watching guys like DeMar do it. Not saying, I'm just using him as an example of a veteran. You know what I mean? So if I'm watching them do it and fall asleep on defense, I'm angry. I'm extra angry.
Yeah.
Young guys like Daiglin Terry or even Io like that, I'm like, I'm not happy, but I'm like, okay, I get it. You're still learning. But for him to have that, but still be an important piece defensively for the Bull, because you mentioned the off-ball defense, I loved his help defense as well. I thought his help defense was awesome because he had a couple blocks just coming over for help that were great, or a couple of those strips that he would get, and he would start the break and get on down and transition, man. Like, I love that from Io because that lets me know your IQ is up there. You know, you're really thinking and anticipating what's going on in the game. Yes, you've fallen asleep for sure because you're watching the game, seeing what's going on and forgetting about your man. But those things can be corrected and fixed. But everything else, I think everything else is hard to teach that he does. You just sometimes guys got it and sometimes guys don't. Teaching them to not fall asleep on there is something that can be taught. But the other things that he does, he just has. And I just find that really, really talented, man. And he's just really good at being a defender.
I feel like I'm kind of the opposite direction on that, Dave, because to me, like, I don't love it, but like with Zach or with DeMar.
You're talking about falling asleep on this.
Yeah. Okay. Like they're just so, they're asked so much offensively that I don't, like I, when Zach was 24, 25 and he was like, you know, the man on this team, mm-hmm. and it was like, can he become a star player? Then I thought it was frustrating that Zach wasn't able to like get to a higher level defensively, especially mm-hmm. off ball. But like at age 35 with DeMar, I'm expecting him to turn it on in playing games against the Hawks and the Heat, and I think he did. Mm-hmm. But I also think there's times where he's just going to have to not exert so much energy because he's being asked so much. And I think mm-hmm. when you're a younger role player and you're a 3-and-D younger role player, like mm-hmm. you have to be very good and locked in at all times defensively. So to me, I wanted to see more of that. You know, the Bulls' defense was not great this year. It was actually worse when Io was on the court.
By a slim margin, I think.
By a very slim margin. Yeah. But still notable, the EPM number, minus 0.1. So, again, pretty much average. I thought he was good, not great. I think there were some lapses. I think especially those lapses happen on the defensive rebounding side mm-hmm. where he just doesn't get boxed out.
Yeah.
And he needs to.
Yeah.
yes. Minor stuff, but over a course of a season, it adds up to me. And so I didn't want to go higher than a B there. Obviously, I think he's still a very good defensive player, particularly on the ball, and I think he's got potential to be a great defensive player. Mm-hmm. But that was the one area, and maybe it was because the minutes were so great and he was being asked to do more mm-hmm. offensively. I just feel like, you know, to me, the offense was better this year than the defense, and I was kind of surprised by that.
Mm. Yeah.
I think we got it all.
I mean, the numbers, you know, the leap in those numbers, especially that the 27-game split you were referring to earlier, Will, I mean – those were eye-popping improvements for Io offensively. All right, let's do some meathead grades, y'all.
Oh, man.
Before we talk about what's next for Io Dosunmu in the offseason and next season, Will, you got a freaking graduate thesis over here.
He fell asleep on his
seat. Now, Will already said he may have forgotten.
I got it.
He fell asleep. All right, for those of you listening on the podcast, GOAT's meathead grade abbreviation, CMS. BITSIFR.
For real?
For real. You got it.
For real at the end.
For real at the end.
But think about it as if it's
can
like.
Can make shots, but is it super for real? Something like that?
It's pretty darn close.
Okay.
I think BIT maybe, but I think.
It's short for Batim. No, I'm just joking. It's color me skeptical, but if the shooting is for real,
ooh,
dot dot dot,
ooh,
oh, the dot dot dot. Okay, all right.
So
the shooting's for real.
So you're saying that you're skeptical?
I'm a little skeptical. He's going to be a 40% shooter. But
season we just saw from him behind the arc,
if he can keep that up. Like that's a player, and you know we were kind of talking about this yesterday during the NHL lottery. Like, could he be the third or fourth or maybe fifth best player on a team that's contending? I think so. Yeah. If he gets to that point where he is shooting at that level consistently and at a higher volume, and I think in particular willing to shoot more contested ones, I think he sped up his release. And obviously working with Peter Patton this year, there were some huge improvements. But if he can get to a point where he is shooting 5.5 threes per game and knocking them down at 40%, even more than that, like that's a great player. And he needs to tighten some stuff up. And he needs to continue to improve, but like I feel great about contract aside, like that's just a really solid player you can build with.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Agreed.
My meathead grade is in sort of a similar vein, and it's about not just next season and moving forward, but what I want Io to do this summer.
Keep
up anonymous.
I know that's
KCTR.
Something
keeps
release.
Keep chucking the rock.
Ayo! Dave got it. Keep chucking that rock.
Okay.
I want Io shooting 500 threes a day all off season, so that Will saying, hey, I might be skeptical, but if this 40% three-point shooting improvement we saw from Io is for real, that is a real player.
That's a real
player. That is a real player you want on your team.
Yeah.
So kudos to Io for that improvement in his shot that we all saw this season. Keep it up.
No, it makes him more lethal, man.
He went from his first year, 37% to his second year, 31%.
Yeah.
And then this year, 40%. Like, can you keep that?
It's big swings.
Yeah. And can you continue to shoot even more?
Yes. Right. Yeah, exactly. That part. Yes. What was it per game? 3.6? This season?
This season.
Attempts?
3.9. Up from 2.4 in each of his first 2 years. Yeah, so like
you said, that's that good girl.
Can he be a shooter who gets that above 5?
Yeah, man.
And then some.
5 a game? Ooh, that's sexy. Ooh. 40% 5 a game? Okay.
All right, Dave, what do we got for your meathead grade?
All right.
Joseph?
Reimer.
It's a simple one. It's been said before.
Something about mid-range?
Read your Miranda rights.
I borrowed it from a great, from another sports great.
Another sports great.
Yes. A legend. A super legend. Joey, anything?
I don't know, man.
No?
I feel like I'm getting progressively worse at these.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. I think 2 years ago we were nailing these.
You know, we were killing them, even though I just got
mine. Dave just got mine.
Oh, thank you, man. I just big up myself at the same time. We think alike. It says, Rumble, young man, Rumble. That's all. Keep it Muhammad Ali. Shout out, baby. But Rumble, young man, Rumble. Keep doing your thing, basically, is what I'm saying. I don't want him to change anything that he's really doing. It's just about improvement and kind of, you know, shaping it up. It's like getting a new tux. You're not building a new tux. You're just tailoring it to fit. You know what I mean? So he's at a point in his game where he's just kind of tailoring it to fit him. And then he can keep moving on, man, because we see the talent. We see the skill. We saw the work ethic because, remember, that we saw that weight that he put on in the offseason.
Yep.
How he came in just, you know, with muscles on his neck and shoulders and shit. It was like, damn, this dude is huge. So, yeah, he has that ethic. We know it's in him, man. So just about tailoring and making it, you know, fit to him perfectly. Like Will said, you know, increasing your three-point percentage, not falling asleep on the defensive end. Those are little minor tiny things, I think. It's nothing real huge that I think he needs to change, because we saw the huge change come because he started scoring. That was the biggest change. So if he keeps doing that and improving on those things, man, goes back to Will's meathead grade immediately. So, yeah, I enjoy watching Ayo.
I wonder, just to pose this question to you guys, like we're kind of talking about him as a third or probably more realistically a fourth or fifth option on a very good team. And a player to build with, not necessarily build around.
Right.
I don't want to, like, shortchange him in any way, because obviously when you can make that kind of a jump.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Who's to say that you can't do it another time?
Correct.
But, like, what do you guys feel is kind of like, what does he need to do to get to a point where maybe he's a player that you're building around more so than building with?
That, for me, it comes when you're getting close to 20 a game. I think that's when I'm, because everything else I don't have a complaint about. Like, everything else, you're a great defender, you're 3.40%, all of those things. You're creating your own offense. All that's cool. But if teams have to worry about you getting 20-plus a game, or even close to 20 a game, oh, then you're for real.
Yeah.
Then we've seriously talking about a real straight-up monster.
You got a thought, Joe?
Well, I have a bonus meathead grade.
Joey's got a bonus meathead.
Yabba wabba? What are we doing?
Yabba wabogo.
You want Io back on?
There should be something here that sort of gives it away.
The dash?
Oh.
Young Io.
You will always be our guy.
Hey. Yeah, okay.
Nice. Nice.
The only grade that matters right there. So.
It's true. You
it's
will always be linked to CHGO Bulls, our trip to Paris.
Yo, that, ain't that funny? We could literally say this phrase. We'll always have Paris.
We'll always have Paris.
We can literally say this phrase.
Our romantic afternoon on a rainy Paris afternoon.
At the Met.
Just hanging out at the pyramids of the Louvre.
I'm sorry, the Louvre. Excuse me. I said the Met.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Just talking about the Bears draft picks.
Oh, that was so much fun, though. It was fun, dog. You only gave us a few minutes. We turned in about almost an hour.
Yeah.
It's just talking and running
around. I'm with you, though, like on the question of turn – from a player to build with, to build around. I don't know if I see that for Io. I'm not saying it's not possible.
Sure.
But I agree with what you said, Dave, is like, and let me preface it. I'm not comparing Io and his potential career trajectory to Jimmy Butler's.
He's in my brain.
But
so
Bulls
hard.
Fans saw Jimmy Butler as a player who was like, had to scrap to get minutes, was a role player by definition. Tibbs said, go out there, play 40 minutes, play as hard on defense as you can. And then out of necessity, we saw Jimmy Butler turn himself into a legitimate scoring threat.
Correct.
Because the team needed someone to score.
Correct.
In a similar way, we saw those nights from Io, especially down the stretch this season. Kobe's out with a hip. You know, so-and-so isn't shooting well tonight. And somebody, and then we saw these nights where it's like, Io, 25, Io, 30, Io, 35.
Right.
If he can do that and be that player, or at least the threat of that player on the offensive end consistently as he is progressing through his early and mid-20s, then yes, you can talk about building around with around that player.
That word right there, will threat. You know what I mean? Like, I talk about having shooters here on this team who are threats. It's like, no, I don't want people – I know people can shoot, but I want somebody who's a threat, you know what I mean, to score, because so teams have to worry about it. If he's right, if he's a threat to get 20 a night – oh, my God. That's a different kind of basketball player.
Much the same way that guys, like, when you're talking about real contending teams, I mean, MPJ and Aaron Gordon are both great examples of that.
Correct.
They are not the leading scorers of that team. On certain nights,
they might get you 30.
If Jokic's shot is off and he's missing his bunnies, or Jamal Murray is banged up, or Jamal Murray is out, the Nuggets can look at MPJ or Aaron Gordon and we're like, we need 20 from you tonight.
Oh, Jamal Murray's throwing heat.
That's why I was sort of confused that we kept having a conversation about, like, letting Io and on some level Kobe, you know, work their trade value up, and then like those Io include, those are the guys I wouldn't trade just because of potentially still untapped potential.
Yeah.
And I understand about maximizing value. Clearly this front office does not care about that.
Yeah.
Based on some of the moves that they have made.
And haven't made.
haven't made is better.
But is Caruso still
I don't know. I just, I did see a comment, I think, from Julie earlier, which was talking about Jimmy. He was talking about Lowry, and it's obviously wishful thinking, but Bulls have had more cases than not about moving off a guy a little bit too early. I just – what you've seen a lot from Io in terms of his progression, where why do you have to assume this is the cap? Why are we putting a ceiling on him?
Yeah. No, I'm not putting a ceiling on any of these guys, man. Like, I've stopped doing that. You know what I mean? I learned my lesson from Jimmy Butler, you know, about putting ceilings and caps on people. I was done after that. I just want these guys to continue to get better and continue to grow. I don't think it's wrong or, you know, something that's terrible that people just want to put caps and ceilings on them. They're just going by what they see. You know what I mean? Out there. That's fine. But Io and Kobe continue to prove that you can't put these lids on top of them. You know, Io is just probably an even better example than Kobe because we just knew. You know what I mean? Like, this is, we thought it was the odd man out, as you stated, Will. That was the odd man out, the last signing. Was it the Nets that he was potentially being talked about going to? I think it was the Nets. They were like, he might go.
Oh, last offseason?
Yeah, in the offseason. Yeah. So we just didn't see the room for him, you know, on the team. And then he always said, oh, I'll play anywhere. You know what I mean? Which is what you want to hear from a hooper. Like, I'll play any position, do anything. But he ain't just say it. He really went out there and he did it. He was everything that they needed, man. So I like the fact that he learned some things from Caruso as well, because I think all those guards do.
Yep.
And I think that that's just going to make him and continue to make him better, which is another reason I don't worry about him defensively. But I just think it's going to continue to make him better. But if he gets to that point where he's at 20-point threat, where if he might score 40 in a game on somebody, it's up, as the children would say.
Yeah, to me, it's like, you know, I think Iowa right now, what's kind of crazy about it is, like, there was one play that they run for him. It was that pistol action that I broke down at some point this year where they're, like, giving him a handoff on a runway to the rim. Like, that's it. He's just doing it through transition play,
right,
through opportunistic cutting and attacking of closeouts and hitting threes. If there is a point, and to be able to put up 17 points per game doing that, that's really impressive.
Yeah.
That's a really good player. But to me, again, that's a player that you build with. And there's nothing wrong with that. You need players to build with.
Yeah.
But to get to a point where you're building around him, to me, it's like, can we run some offense through you? Can you be making decisions and playing mistake-free basketball and creating offense for other players on this team? Because I think he's really good at finding his own kind of avenues and lanes into the basket, just being kind of like slithery and getting to the rim. I want to see a little bit more creativity, and I want to see him get to a point where he is facilitating. And like I said, the Bulls are able to play through him on the offensive end. To me, that was the jump that Jimmy made, to where he's not just a 3-and-D wing. Now he is a mistake-free 20-point-per-game, you know, 5-assist kind of guy. And that is a superstar player.
Our guy in the comments, Fish, agrees, saying, I think if Iowa's game had a higher ceiling creatively on offense, we would have seen it. He's been playing a while in big roles since college, but it's cool. So maybe Fish believing that layer of added creativity and scoring threat combined with playmaking creativity and creating for himself and creating for his teammates is not a level that's there.
And, like, you know, I get where that's coming from. But, like, Jimmy doesn't have a lot of, like, wiggle off the dribble. He's not, like, shaking. Like, what he does is he gets to his spots.
He's got some DeMar. Yeah. He gets to his spots and he draws fouls.
And he bodies guys and puts them on the block and then rises up over him. Like, Io's not got that same size. He's, like, maybe 6'5", Jimmy's 6'7", 6'8". But, like, he can still do some of that. I think he relies a lot on his speed and ability to get downhill. Can he kind of slow down and use his strength a little bit more and start to, like, you know, beat guys as opposed to just, like, run by them? And that's a form of beating guys, but I want to see an additional layer. I think that's kind of what Fish is alluding to, is, like, can he create offense in a slowed down half court setting? And they don't ask him to do that right now because they've got DeMar, who can do it better than anybody else.
Sure.
But I think that's a level that if he can get to it, then you start to feel good about, all right, maybe he can be, like, your second or third best player on a good team. And then I think you're thinking about keeping him longer term as opposed to seeing what you can potentially get for him on the market.
And I always think that's one of a misconception about a lot of NBA players, is they got to be sexy. You got to have these handles out here. You got to be doing these things to show your productivity. And I'm like, no, you just have to be unstoppable. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it don't have to be sexy. It could just be whatever it needs to be, as long as the ball goes into the bucket. That's the end game of it. But I wanted to ask you, well, what kind of guard do you think plays better with Io? Like, a guard like Kobe is, or more traditional, kind of like what Lonzo is?
I think probably Kobe. I think you need a little bit more pressure on the rim and a little bit more scoring next to him. Just because, you know, obviously he can do that, but it's not like he's creating that for himself. So I actually think he and Kobe complement each other really well. But I also think that because he has shown the ability to improve his jump shot, he can kind of play off of anyone. The real question is, like I said, can he get to a point where he is the one creating? And again, I'm not saying he can't do that, but we just haven't seen too much of it to this point. But I think that's kind of what's been so impressive about Iowa, is he's just been everything the Bulls need him to be. He's done the offensive initiation in second units at times. He's gotten up in transition. He's been a floor spacer. He's played off at guys. He's attacked closeouts. Like, he does everything, and that makes him really versatile, and that's not a lot. I mean, you can't say that about a lot of players on this team.
So, Joey, if you want to throw up the grades one more time as we wrap up our evaluation of Io, those overall grades, we were pretty close. I gave him a B+, Dave a B. Will, you gave him an A. Is the firm A on a B+ and a B? Just because of what you were saying just now, of being everything the Bulls needed him to be this season? Because that's why I gave him a B+ instead of a flat B, was I was thinking of Io's availability all season long in a season riddled with injuries for the Bulls, and the fact that he went with the flow. You want me to start? Cool. You want me to come off the bench? Cool. Either way, I am here and ready to play tonight. And if you need me to score 20 points tonight, I'll score 20 points tonight. That earned him a B+ for me.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been trying to think of the overall grade not as necessarily like a product of the offensive and defensive grade, and more just like how did you perform
right.
this season? Did you answer the call? Did you improve? And I think like I did that just as much as anybody else. So like, is there a little bit more I want to see from him offensively? Absolutely. Is there a little bit more I want to see from him defensively? Yes, absolutely. But I also think he just improved so much. He was steady. He was consistent. He got better and he was available. Like he did everything that this team needed. Yeah. And yeah, I feel like that's to me, like that's like all the other stuff, not necessarily just the offense or just the right. defense.
Also him being a coachable kind of player yep. as well. Those kind of things. Yeah.
And improving. I mean, he improved.
And speaking of that, I did like this quote from Io, who was one of the handful of players who spoke in the locker room down in Miami after their season ending loss in the play-in tournament mm-hmm. on unlocking his full potential. He said, quote, "I don't think I did that. I think there's still more growth for me, but looking back from my rookie year to my sophomore year to now, it's definitely a big jump I took.
Sure.
But I just want to keep going."
That's it.
Which I think is a great mindset for a young player to have, recognizing, hey, I've made some strides. This season was a big one. But he said, I have not unlocked my full potential yet.
Rumble, and young that's man, like rumble. Been the steady thing talking to him all year is like, I don't want to put a cap on what I can do because then I will achieve up to that and stop.
Right.
Like, I'm not putting a limit anywhere. I'm just mm-hmm. going to see how much better I can get.
All right, guys, before we get out of here real quick, we had two games in the NBA playoffs last night. The Celtics put the Cavs in their rearview mirror after a fairly competitive first half. But, I mean, headline on that one, I think, the Cavs shot 26% on 42 threes. The Celtics shot 39% on 46 threes.
If you want to beat the Celtics,
Derek White,
you have
7
to,
of 12 from downtown.
Monster.
Yeah, if you want to beat the Celtics, you have to, like, outshoot them because you're just not going to beat them. But they also shoot more threes and make more threes than anybody else. So it's just tough.
And really Mavs hung tough with the Thunder for a while. Thunder pull away in the fourth quarter. SGA had a near triple-double with 29 points. Mm-hmm. Luka looked a little hobbled. Did either of those game ones last night change your mind about how those series are going to go?
No.
Me neither.
This is kind of how I thought it would be. Luka's been the second best player for them in both series so far. I'm sure a lot has to do with injury and things like that as well. But he's got to pick it up. I mean, I can't give him that excuse. Like, this is what MVPs or MVP candidates are supposed to do in these opportunities, bro. Hurt or not, he's got to go out there and give them those Luka games, baby.
Yeah. Biggest takeaway from Thunder Mavs game one?
The Thunder are just, for as young a team as they are, they're just so, like, steady. They defend so well. They're mm-hmm. just, they have big-time shot makers everywhere.
They don't seem to be afraid of these playoff games for as young as they are.
I mean, they swept their first playoff series.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Yeah. And, I mean, if you ask me if my thoughts change, like, the only thing that I could think of is, like, maybe these series are quicker than we thought they were going to be. Because the Thunder looked extremely dominant, and so did the Celtics.
Yeah.
That they did. Game two tonight, Knicks-Pacers. Yeah. Game one was weird. Yeah. There were some questionable calls down the stretch of a game that most people agree favored the Knicks in the Garden. Do the Pacers get the split tonight?
Yes, for the sake I said, what, 7 games? So, yeah.
Sure. I think so, too. Mitchell Robinson being out, big news. Really hurts.
That's a big one.
Because that's like one of their huge advantages, the offensive class. And
the timeline, didn't they give him 6 to 8 weeks? Like, he's done.
So. Like, that's a wrap, yeah.
I mean, they are just fighting through so many injuries. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Bogdanovich out, Julius Randle's out.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everybody's going to be playing 48 minutes tonight.
You got that right, yeah. They better know who their coach is. I think they do.
We have enough.
But it's working for them. I mean, Jalen Brunson, man. Outstanding, bro.
So freaking good.
Outstanding. Just propelling himself to, like, real superstar kind of levels.
He might average 40 in this postseason run.
That's special, dog. To be the height he is. Be doing that? That's special stuff.
Julia in the comments pointing out that Reggie's on the call tonight for Pacers Knicks in the Garden. Please give us an opportunity where the Knicks coughed up a late lead like they did against Philly so we can see Reggie do this in the Garden.
Yes. Do and not then, show John Starks on my screen
dude.
Tonight. Please. Oh, my God. I hate it so much, Will.
Unless it's a John Starks-Reggie Miller reunion of some kind.
Or John Starks is crying. I'll take that.
We're getting dunked on.
Well, yeah, well, I'll take that, too.
Can I make a request? I know we're out of time today, but tomorrow...
Do you want a tankathon spin? Is that what you're about to ask me?
tomorrow is our last show before the lottery. We got to do one tomorrow.
That's true. Tomorrow is our last show before the NBA draft lottery on Sunday.
I'm so glad you knew exactly what I was talking about.
Come on. If it's GOAT making a request this time of year.
Right. We know what year it is. We know where we at.
I hate to tell you, Will, but I've gotten to know you pretty well.
In the wheelhouse, baby. In the wheelhouse.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. If you didn't do it yet, hit that like button on your way out. If you watched on YouTube, if you're catching the replay on YouTube, we appreciate it. Make sure you also subscribe to the CHGO Sports YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Sign up to become a diehard if you haven't already. For all those wonderful perks and benefits. And if you subscribe to this on podcast platforms of various kinds, leave us rates and reviews there too. We appreciate those. We're back tomorrow, same time, same place, 4 p.m. Central. Enjoy Knicks Pacers tonight. We will talk to you tomorrow. Will to go, Will underscore Gottlieb. Big day, bow, BAWL Sports. Our pal and producer, Joey Spathis at Joey Spathis. Uncle of Baby Joe, twin brother of Troll Joe. Mm-hmm. Bulls underscore Peck. We are CHO underscore Bulls. Love you, Bulls Nation. See you every good.
Peace.
We all silly like the mayor.